Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Valerie Parker. I'm the president of Arise by VNP and also the Soul of a Woman Foundation. I'm an author. I've written 3 books. The first, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. If you are going through situations and obstacles in your life and you don't see your way out, Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt is for you. It is not just for women. It is also an inspiration to men as well. And also my second book, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. We have to forgive where we've been in order to free where we have to go. And my last book is called Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversity. So those of you that are listening that have young adults and that are going through situations, that book is for them, to encourage them, to inspire them, that regardless of what it looks like or feels like in their young lives, that this isn't it. There is more to come. There's more to life. Hot Topics from the Soul was created to be a platform, to have a lifeline to the community, to encourage and inspire individuals to tap into their true potential, to tap into their greatness. There's so much bad news going out there. Soul Topics is a powerful source to connect you to a lifeline that will pump that heart, get those blood vessels moving in there, and surely you will get to the next level in life, which is your purpose, your destiny, your God-appointed place. I'm so glad to have my co-host with me, Shirley Carter, an author and speaker. Well, we're going to hold the author part because she's been working on that book, and I'm tired of pulling out that whip. Shirley, are you there?
Yes, I am, Val. And for, you know, just to give you a quick update, I am working on my book daily now. So I wanted to surprise you with that, but since you got your whip out tonight, I am working on my book. Thank you, everyone, for joining me and Val on this. I love being her co-host. And I'm also the founder of an organization called Against All Odds. So you can hit me up on Facebook, Shirley Carter. Thank you, Val.
Okay. The reason why I'm all fired up and excited tonight is because I have with us tonight Bruce H. Dobbs. He wrote a book called The Success Within. Be in it to win it. Bruce, are you there?
I am here. How are you this evening?
I am well. I told you I'm fired up from reading your book here. I've been flipping through the pages. I met you a couple of weeks ago, and I told you, I said, okay, we like-minded here. I'm going to check you out and see what you're talking about, make sure we are saying the same thing. And I was pulling some tidbits out of the book. And for those listeners, tell them about Bruce H. Dobbs. Give them some background on who you are.
Well, my background is varied. I was born in Brooklyn and Queens, New York City, and went to school in Bed-Stuy and then Jamaica, Queens, and went to school there in Queens. But interestingly, I went to a PS 140 Queens, and then I went to junior high school 8, and then to just for about a half a semester to a school, Springfield Gardens High School.
I visited Jamaica High.
I think
me more than I was in school.
Well, the interesting school, the most interesting school I attended was a school called St. Emma Military Academy, and it was in a little town called Powhatan, Virginia. It was an all-black military academy that was started in 1895 by the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament, and it was a wonderful experience. 400 young black African-American males at this school, and unfortunately the school is no longer in existence. But through the years, you have heard people ask questions as to whether or not an all black African-American male institution could thrive. And I will tell you that it did, and it survived for over 100 years. So it was just a fantastic institution and a great experience. But enough about me. Let's talk about success. Let's talk about life.
Well, yes. But I wanted them to know a little bit about who you are so that they'll know why they should care what you have to say. So that's why I wanted them to know a little bit about who you are because,
sure.
You know, sometimes people will receive someone who's been through some hard knocks, you know, because I know we have listeners on the call now that are great procrastinators. They sitting by the wayside. I've been talking about for the last couple of weeks about how individuals are sitting in their cars, which are their bodies. Their heart is pumping, and the mind is thinking, but they're going nowhere. That light is turned green and yellow and red and green and yellow and red, and as soon as they get ready to say, I'm going to start, then they find an excuse why they can't get up and move to the next level. So, procrastination is one of the chapters that you wrote about in your book. So can you speak on that?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. You know, a lot of times people do not get to where they want to go because they carry a lot of baggage with them. Success is a trip, and there are a lot of times people say, well, you know, I want to write this book, or you know, I know I need to leave this relationship, or you know, I know I want to get a new job, but every day that comes, they will find an excuse. So procrastination is like a flat tire that leads to failure. Dennis Waitley said, people procrastinate because they are afraid of success. And they know, and what they know will result when they move ahead. Because success is heavy and it carries a responsibility with it, it's much easier to procrastinate and live on the someday I'll do it type of philosophy. And so there are ways that one needs to overcome procrastination, and one needs to take a step at a time. For an example, one of the things that I find that works very well is to write and plan an agenda for the day.
Okay.
And it may sound, you know, it may sound simple, but you'd be surprised how many people get up and start the day and really have no idea of the things they want to accomplish. So when people fail to reach their goals or live their dreams, they are really what's called, and I heard Zig Ziglar use this term, wandering generalities. Have you heard that term before?
No. I hear a lot of feedback or like it's talking or something in the background. I don't know who's... but I'm getting a lot of feedback.
Well, procrastination is like a mental excuse for not trying. And people don't try because they have these preconceived beliefs that they're going to fail.
Okay.
And it's these three preconceived notions that we must overcome.
Okay. Preconceived notions.
That's right. For an example, Valerie, there are things that people believe that are just not necessarily true.
Okay, so they believe the negative stories in their head.
Well, yes, they have negative stories, but even from birth, somehow they picked up these negative beliefs that keep them from achieving. For an example, One of the things that people believe is they say that it takes money to make money, and that is not necessarily true.
Mm-hmm.
It takes, particularly in this country, it takes an idea to make money. If you have an idea in this country, you can gather people around you who believe in your idea, and they will help you. But you've got to have this idea. For an example, another belief that people have that I find is not true, and that is experience is the best teacher. Well, experience is a teacher, but it's not necessarily the best teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to take time and really begin to examine the things that we believe. And once we examine our belief system and get rid of these things that are not true, then we can move ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay. You gave some, what have you found to be the main reasons as you're traveling on the road, speaking and doing and coaching, because you're a success coach too, what have been the main reasons and the excuses that people give for not moving forward?
Well, some of the excuses that you will hear is that it's too hard. People say, oh, well, I can't do that just because it's too hard. Well, you know, in this life, some things will not come easy. And people give up too quickly. They just, you know, they try a little bit. They run into a roadblock or an obstacle, and that's it. They give up. So, you know, it's like riding a bike. You have to get on that bike, and sometimes you may fall, but you will never learn unless you continue to get back up on that bike. The other thing, and I find this when people say that they want to go back to school. They say, well, you know, it's gonna take too much time. Well, you know, time is a commodity that we all have, and we've got to use our time wisely. And I tell people, well, if you've got to go back to school for a year or 2 years or 3 years, well, you know, if you're living, that time is going to come and go anyway, so you might as well use it wisely. You also hear people say, well, you know, I want to do this, but I just don't know how. Well, duh. You know, part of learning is to take a first step. And you are going to make some mistakes. Those mistakes are inevitable. But once you take a step and you begin to learn how to do what it is that you want to do, then you become more confident. And then, of course, you know, some people are just afraid. And they're afraid that they'll look stupid, or they're afraid of what everyone else will say, or they've got these beliefs that have been hurled upon them, telling them, well, you can't do that, or that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I heard Jay-Z say in one of his rap songs, look, you cannot judge me by what everybody else isn't. And so a lot of people are strapped because they are worried about what someone else is going to think about them. Do you know people like that?
Oh, I know a lot of people like that. I'm on this line here. But, you know, what would you say to someone to get them unstuck from that stigma of fear? Of moving forward or being accepted, because that's what the fear comes from, the fear that they won't be accepted, someone wouldn't want to hear what they have to say, what they have to write, because that was one of the things that held me back from releasing From the Soul of a Woman. I didn't think anybody wanted to hear what I had to say until I started speaking about it. And I discovered that I wasn't alone in a lot of situations. And that's why when I go out and I speak now, I'm always encouraging and trying to inspire individuals to go forth and dream big, because what you see and who you are right now is nothing compared to who God wants you to be. And when you tell your story and you communicate to others, that's why I asked you to share at the beginning, who are you? What, you know, so that people can identify with you to know that, yeah, you've been through some things, but you survived it, and that's why you're authority on this matter, and you wrote the book called The Success Within. Be in it to win it.
Okay, well, let me tell you a story that I got from a Buddhist monk. Do we have time to do that?
Sure.
Okay. I got this story from a Buddhist monk, and he said this. He said, imagine spending your life in a little room with one locked window that was so dirty that it barely emitted any light. And he said, you probably think the world was a dark and dreary place full of strange and scary things that went by your window and cast shadows, perhaps terrifying shadows against the glass. And then he said, but suppose after a storm, a little rain dribbles in, and you take a rag and you wipe that little dribble of rain from the window, and as you wipe, a little bit of the dirt that accumulated on that window comes away. Mm-hmm. And curious, as that dirt comes away, a little bit of light shines in. And so you go over to the sink and you get some rags or some more piece of paper and some water, and you begin to wash that dirt that accumulated on that window away. And then all of a sudden, you have all of this light that shines in, and then you can see clearly. And, you know, that story to me really is what happens to a lot of people. We have so much dirt that accumulates on our window that we are living in this small room that we can't see out. And so when we wash this dirt away from this window, and you see out and the light begins to shine in, you begin to understand that there are other things and other people out there that are like you and want to hear your story. So just to digress, most recently I was chairman of Homestyle Foods, and it's a independent sausage manufacturer. And we recently sold that to an investment group out of Chicago. I'm an investment banker by trade. I spent 15 years with Merrill Lynch. I've managed over $3 billion in fixed income assets. I have a master's degree in leadership and communication. I'm working on my doctorate degree. And I'm married to a celebrity chef, Erica. I have four great children. One is 25. The other is 23. My youngest is 5. And Solomon, my youngest son, will be turning 10 soon. I've been married and divorced. I've been through the storm. I've been broke. I've been successful. So I've had the trials and the tribulations. One of the stories I tell people is that when I was going through my first divorce, I had lost my job at the same time, and I had been a very successful executive on on Madison Avenue. I worked for a company called Young and Rubicam. And after having had success, I found that I was broke. And so I went and I got a job at a convenience station, at a gas station, from 11 o'clock at night till 7 o'clock in the morning. And I was out of work for about 18 months. But during that 18-month time, I had the opportunity to read quite a bit. I read the Bible. I listened to Les Brown tapes. I listened to Tony Robbins. Every self-help book you could possibly find. And so while working at night, it also gave me an opportunity to interview during the day. And my goal was to become an investment banker. And my goal to become an investment banker was set because I looked around and I said, well, who is it out there that's really making the money, you know, in this economy? I said, well, it's these guys at investment bankers. And at that time, there were not any African-American investment bankers in Atlanta. And people were telling me that you cannot do this because there are no African-American investment bankers in Atlanta. And I said, well, there's going to be one very soon. So I began to interview, and doors were slammed in my face. But what happened, as I interviewed, I got stronger and stronger because I knew the questions. Everybody asked the same question. So after going through and being turned down by 10 investment houses, I got to Merrill Lynch. And by the time I got to Merrill Lynch, I was so ready. I said, look, you guys are going to have to hire me because I know all the answers. I got all the, all of the qualifications. There's no way. I'm just not going to take no. And so I was hired by Merrill Lynch. Okay. Now, what people don't know about investment banking is that you have to go out and you have to get your own clients. And I tell this story because it really kind of hones in on what you have to do to really be successful. I didn't have any clients, nor did I come from a rich background where I can turn to my aunt or my uncle and say, look, you know, I want to, you know, you have a couple million dollars to invest. So I started cold calling out of the Chinese phone directory.
The Chinese phone directory?
The Chinese phone book. Well, what made me do that was that I knew at that particular time, being an African American, that in the South, in Atlanta, that people who had the money would not necessarily look toward an African American to manage their trust fund. And this was back in 1987. And a lot of things have changed since then. So I figured, well, let me go a different way. Let me go a different path. And so calling out of cold calling out of the Asian American directory, I got, and he's now a friend. His name is David Chen. And I talked to David Chen, and David Chen said, well, you know, I don't have any money, but you call my uncle. And I said, okay, well, I called his uncle, and his uncle didn't speak a lot of English. And so I got David to translate what I was saying into Chinese. And his uncle said, okay, well, you know, I've got some money. I've got $5 million to invest. I said, whoa, gee whiz, you know, I hit a jackpot here. Found out his uncle was a Taiwanese billionaire. And that changed my whole life at Merrill Lynch.
I'm sure.
Because from that point on, I had a direct line into the president of Merrill Lynch, the chairman of Merrill Lynch. I found myself on the 33rd floor of the Merrill Lynch building in New York City, overlooking the Statue of Liberty, rows and rows of investment bankers listening to me. And so that experience kind of changed, that really kind of changed my life. So,
yeah, very impressive.
And when I talk about success, and you know, people tell me I should tell that story more often.
You should.
But, well, you know, when I talk about success, it is because I have been the victim of some of the things and some of the thought patterns that others now find themselves in. Some of us have this thought that other people are better than us, or other people know more than us. And, you know, I even though I had that success at Merrill Lynch initially, I thought that, gee whiz, these other investment bankers know as much, you know a whole lot more than I do. And I got up there and I found out that these guys are no smarter than the next person. It's like, my goodness gracious, if I knew this, you know, I could have been doing a lot of things all along. So, you know, that's part of my story, and it's been uphill since then. I've been blessed, and I've been you know, rather successful, and you know, I will tell you that you know, I'm worth a couple of $1 million now in assets, but it's been a struggle. What people can do, and you've got to really apply yourself. So anyway, ask me some questions, Valerie.
you said okay. See, I gathered from the beginning of the conversation that I would have to be dragging information out of you, because a lot of times you can write down what you want to say, you know, and that's why you're a good writer, because your thoughts are there in the book, and that's why I always encourage people, write, because I'm a much better writer than I am a communicator, I think. So, not to worry. How important is the meditation and prayer and setting the tone for the day before you go out? And in following up to you saying that you contacted, got that phone book, and decided out of all nationalities to get a Chinese phone book, how did that come about? Was that through the you know, preparing for the day, the quiet time and the listening? What was that?
Well, growing up in New York, I had trained in martial arts, and I had an affinity towards Asia for some particular reason. You know, the martial arts just appealed to me. And so it wasn't any particular plan, because I was calling out of the Chinese American Business Association phone book, and I was also cold calling out of the Gay American phone book. I was cold calling. I was selecting a group that I thought may have some type of, I guess maybe be sensitive to my plight. The fact that I was a minority, you know, in this industry, trying to make a way.
Okay. And, you know, the reason why I'm wanting you to expound on that and communicate more regarding that is because we have a lot of entrepreneurs on the phone. I myself am one too, and I've been in the game for over 25 years. I tell individuals, when I think about punching into somebody's time clock, I get heart palpitations and start sweating, and you know, get ill thinking about going on somebody's job because I've been independent for so long. But, you know, sometimes you get burnt out, you get tired, and there are people that, you know, they've bought into the economy is bad. And what would you say is a good way for them to get self-motivated again to move on to the next level? Because you got to constantly reinvent yourself.
That's right.
You got to constantly reinvent yourself. You know, I just tapped into another business venture, and those of you that are looking for work and want to increase your income, email me at soultopics@gmail.com because I am a businesswoman, which means I'm in the business of making money. And I want people to make money too, because I'm not tapped into what the world is saying about there's no money. There's got to be money because people are making it, and we need to be in the game of making that same money too. So, what tips could you give them as far as motivating them to, you know, do what you did?
Well, the world of entrepreneurship is very, very interesting. And what I tell people is that no matter what you do, you are ultimately working for yourself. Now, it really depends upon whether you want to punch someone else's time clock or punch your own time clock. And you will find, or at least I have found, that as an entrepreneur, I work, you know, 100, 120 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is I do it because I love it, and I do it because it has to be done. It's a responsibility that I have. So it's not something that you can walk away from at 5 o'clock. You know, you leave and you go home.
Right.
As far as money being out there, one has to understand that money is a tool, and I spoke earlier about having an idea. And as long as you limit yourself by the thought that the economy is bad, then you know that's another way of just really kind of procrastinating. You know, when is the time right? Well, the time is never right.
You
cannot wait until you have all of the answers, because you will never have all of the answers. You're going to make mistakes. Now, you might not be able to do, Valerie, all that you want to do, but you must do what you can do, and that's what I tell people. You have to start somewhere. You've got to be able to take some baby steps. And I think some people fail because they just quit their job and they say, all right, well, I'm going to go in business. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. You know, what I suggest to people is that they start doing something part-time. I have found that for people who have had no business experience, I have found one way to gain business experience is through perhaps some of the various network marketing opportunities that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say that, and I'm not pushing any particular network marketing group, but the reason why I say that is because it gives people an opportunity to enter into a business at a very low price point, and it gives them products to sell, and it also trains them in the discipline of what I call the holy trilogy of business. That's money, marketing, and management. So if you're selling a product, you know, it could be vitamins, or it could be, it could be perfume, or it could be a hair care product, anything. You have a product. You know that you need customers. You know that you've got you purchase this product at a low price point and sell it at a higher price point. You know that you've got to keep control of your inventory. So for those who have not been in business, I think a network marketing is a good way to begin. Now, for those people who have been in business and who have worked for someone else in perhaps maybe a mid-level executive capacity, well, they know the ropes. You know, they know that they are going to need a business plan. The question I get most from people is, well, you know, I need some money. You know, and, yeah, okay, look, where do I find some money? And what I tell them is, look, what you need, this is how you find money, Valerie. And this is what investment bankers do. I'm going to pull the wool off, and I'll tell you exactly what we do. You walk outside your house. You find a rock. You throw the rock up in the air. And when the rock lands on the ground, you ask the first person that walks past that rock if they have any money to invest in your idea. That's what you do. You have to know how to ask, but ask intelligently. And what I mean by asking intelligently is that you present a person or people your business plan, and you let them know what they are going to get or what they can get in exchange for investing in your idea. Remember I talked about an idea? You don't need money. What you need is an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes you may have to talk to 100 or 200 people. But as you begin and as you continually talk to people, you get better and better at explaining your idea. You're able to take out the things that don't make sense and things that are immaterial. You add things to the idea. You polish it off. And sooner or later, someone is going to say yes. And this is the same thing that these Wall Street investment bankers do. They sit around in a room, and they come up with an idea. And they say, okay, this is an idea that we can sell. I remember when I was at Merrill Lynch, I was fortunate enough to work and sell what was called a LION. It's a liquid yield option note. And this is when Ted Turner was launching CNN. Funny story about that. People said, a 24-hour news channel? That's never going to work. That's ridiculous. But he came up with this idea. He went to the investment bankers of Merrill Lynch, and he said, look, I don't have any money to do this. And they got together in a room, and they said, okay, well, this is how we're going to do this. We're going to put together what we call a liquid yield option note, and we're going to go out to the public, and we are going to sell this idea to people. Now, let me show you how this thing works. The way that this thing works is that you would invest your money with Ted Turner. The deal was he would not pay you any money. I think it was like for 5 or 10 years or something like that. You got absolutely no money. But at the end of 3 years, you had the option of turning this note into stock. That was the deal. And you put money in the pot. And that's how CNN got money to launch itself. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. How important is a business plan? Because, you know, there's so many people when they're trying to start a business that they prepare a business plan and they take it into the banker, and the banker takes their business plan and they keep it, and they never hear from them, and they don't get any money. Then there's people that don't have, you know, their financial statements or anything together, and they're able to get money. Why is that?
Personality. Well, personality and perseverance.
Okay.
Yeah. Here again, you know, sometimes you will find that people will say, "Well, you know, I went to, you know, one or two banks, and they turned me down. Well, you know, one or two banks is not enough. And what you do is that you ask them the reason. Say, all right, well, why is it that you do not want to give me any money? And they will tell you.
They never tell the truth.
Well, they'll give you a hint. They'll tell you. And they'll say, well, you know, I don't like this, you know, I don't like I don't like the price points, or, you know, you don't have, you know, enough equity, you know, or you're not putting enough money into it. So whatever it is that they tell you, you go back and you polish the plan and you put whatever it is that they say was lacking. When you go to the next guy, he can't say that, you know, you're lacking X, Y, Z. And the other thing is that, people think that you have got to go to the banks to get money. And that's not necessarily so.
Where do you go to get money?
You can talk to other people. You can talk to people. You can talk. There are people out there that have money that are looking for partners, that are just waiting for some ideas. But what you've got to do is, here again, you've got to get on the phone. You've got to go out and you've got to meet people. You say, look, you know, I've got this idea, you know, for this widget. And, Mr. Jones, would you be available to invest money in this widget? This is what I used to say when I used to cold call people. I used to get on the phone and say, hello, Mr. Jones, this is Bruce Dobbs. I'm calling from Merrill Lynch. The purpose of my call is to very briefly introduce myself, Mr. Jones. If I had an opportunity for you that you felt comfortable with and that you could make some money with, would you have $50,000 to invest in this idea right now? And that's what I used to say to people. And some people would hang up the phone. A lot of people would hang up the phone. But some people would say, oh, yeah, well, let me hear your idea. And that's when you go. And then, you know, some people would say, well, call me back. Or some people would do like David Schiff. Well, I don't have any money, but call my uncle. So they're out there. But
I always say that our wealth is based on our ability to think.
Yeah, you've got to be proactive. This is America, and it's so interesting because the streets are just literally paved with gold. I have a brother who, my parents adopted him. He came from Bangladesh. He came when he was 16 years old with absolutely no money in his pocket. He had never seen snow. I mean, just no money. He just couldn't speak but a couple of words of English. And today, he is a successful contractor out of Cherry Hill, living in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, $500,000 home. He has 20 or 30 people working for him, builds houses and structures all across the United States. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and see, the bottom line is what you're trying to get across is you have to put in the work. Am I right?
Absolutely. Yeah, you really do, and you have to maintain. You have to maintain your perspective. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you have to know that you're going to win. Now, the day may be 24 hours long, or the day may be a week long, or a month long, or a year long. But as long as you have this perspective on obtaining the goal, and you tweak it, and you bob and move, and you move ahead, you're going to be successful.
Mm.
Here again, like I said, you know, are you going to get shot down? Yes. You know, are people going to, you know, ridicule you? Of course. But you know, Valley, when you think about some of the things that are out here, and I said to my friends, in order to perform miracles, what you got to do is you have to raise your consciousness, your awareness. And I point to some of the miracles that are just around us and how people have raised their consciousness. For an example, when we met in Atlanta a few weeks ago, you came by plane, by jet plane. And when you think about it, think about this, you know, I don't know how many hundreds of tons this big clunk of metal weighs, but isn't it a miracle that you can get up in the air and get inside this thing and fly from Florida to Atlanta, or from Atlanta to London, or from New York to California in a matter of hours? Is that not a miracle?
Yes, it is.
But for so long, people say, well, you know, man, well, man is not going to fly. That's not going to happen. You think about people going from Earth to the moon, and every night, one of the things that I do every night is, you know, I go out and I have some quiet time. I look at the stars, and if the moon is out, I look and I admire the moon, because it is a miracle that someone could have an idea, and go from here to the moon. So a lot of us have ideas that are a lot less ambitious, but I tell people, if we can go from Earth to the moon, then you can accomplish some of the things that you want to do, particularly if it's going in business in America. Ask me some more questions.
I have see a hand up. Someone wants to ask a question here. Their last number is 9936. Hello, caller, you on the line?
Hey, Val. Hello, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you better now.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you better now.
Great. I just want to tell, this is Anita Hicks. I want to just tell you, I got great value out of the call tonight. Thank you so much. The question I have for you, Valerie asked you briefly about the business plan, and I appreciate everything you talked about, but I wanted to know, is a business plan important? You talked about why someone don't get accepted, and you should ask, but I want to know, is a business plan necessary? Do you need there are business plans that are 5, 10, one page, and I've been told different things about a business plan, so I'd like to know your thought on a business plan. First of all, is it important, and how extensive should it be?
Well, Anita, it really depends upon what you want to do, what type of business you want to do. Is a plan necessary? Yes, it is definitely necessary. If you're planning on opening up, a string of stores, where you're going to need some major investments, yes, you need a detailed business plan. But if it is something that you and your family, a small business or a micro business, yes, you need a plan, but it does not necessarily need to be detailed. The reason why you need a plan is because it gives you structure. A business plan is a roadmap, and it keeps you from being distracted. You say, okay, well, look, this is exactly what I want to do. This is how we're going to do it. This is the budget that we have, and if you are out of that budget, or if you're away from that budget, then you know that you're off track, you know that you're off plan. So, yes, a business plan is necessary. Now, you know, you have people out here that, and I will tell you, there are people out here that prey on other people, and they will tell you, well, you know, I will write you a business plan, and I will write it for you for $5,000. And I will help you raise some money, you know, for $5,000. Well, you know, it depends. If you're going to go to a small investment banker, and he or she will write a business plan for you, yes, you do have to pay them for their time. But that time and experience can be negotiated. But now when people tell you, I'm going to raise $20,000 for you, but you have to pay me $5,000 up front, you know, you need to run the other way. That's not the way that it works.
Okay.
Forget that. So I hope I've answered your question.
Yes, and I want to know how to get in touch with you as well. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. I got great value out of the call tonight.
You can get in touch with me. It's very hard. I've got it's really hard to remember my website. Are you ready?
Yes.
BruceDobbs@BruceDobbs.com.
That's okay.
BruceDobbs, BruceDobbs@BruceDobbs.com.
Okay, thank you.
And my phone number is 404-246-7899.
You notice he ran by that phone number real fast.
My phone number?
I know I can get it from Valerie. Thank you.
He probably was like, oh, do I really want to give this? Let me give it real fast.
Like Tupac Shakur says, I ain't hard to find.
Okay.
If you just,
your website is BruceDobbs.com.
Yeah, if you Google Bruce Dobbs I should pop right up.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Valerie. Thank you, Shirley. Thank you, Mr. Dobbs.
Thank you so much.
Bruce, one of the
things you talked about was, you know, multi-level marketing, why people should do that. And I definitely agree with that because, you know, there's no more job security. And one of the things in having your own business and multi-level marketing allows you to function in that capacity. And it also sharpens your communication skills. It provides and gives you a form of structure so that when you do decide to venture out and do your own thing, that you already have a structure in place and already be able to communicate about who you are and what you have. And then also teaches you to move independently. So it is definitely a good idea to get involved with something like that. And I always tell people you have to have multiple streams of income, even if you have a good job. A dear friend of mine, Nina Hart, who I'm doing a book collaboration on. So those of you that are listening and want to be a co-author in the book that Nina Hart is putting together called Anointed, she's taking stories of inspiration of individuals who have went through some things and survived it. So it's going to be a nice book of testimonial success stories of individuals. You can email me at soultopics@gmail.com if you want more information regarding that. That's soultopics@gmail.com, and also you can call me at 954-724-0900. I said my phone number a lot slower than Bruce said his. So you can contact me if you want more information regarding that, because we must learn to function with independence and move with a sense of urgency in fulfilling our purpose and our destiny and our reaching our goals in life.
You know, you're absolutely right, Valerie. You know, and I will tell you, I have I have some friends that are that have been extremely successful in multi-level marketing. And here again, just another story. I had one lady. I'm not mentioning names. One lady that would come to me, every month, and she's depositing $75,000 and $50,000 this month, and $30,000 that month. And I was a young investment banker, young broke, and I'm like, well, what is this lady doing? What is going on? And come to find out that she was a triple diamond, what they call a triple diamond director. And her story was a remarkable story. She was a nurse's anesthetist at a hospital here in Atlanta, Grady Hospital. And she was, at the time, she was overweight, and she was looking for a way out. So she began to help herself by taking vitamins, and she got into this group that sold vitamins, and eventually she grew her downline over the years to something like 6,000 or 7,000 people.
Wow!
Just an amazing story, and she's a great friend of mine, and speaks to her. Travels around the country, a black woman, and it's in those days it was very uncommon. It's more common now, but I will tell you, she is a firecracker. So I tell people that there is in America, in this country, you can find a way. You just have to figure it out and stick to it. And this multi-level marketing is a way. Now you've got to get the right company, because mm-hmm. there are some scams out there.
Absolutely.
You've got to do your research. And the other thing is to understand. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, that it is not going to, happen overnight. See, I think a lot of people want success, and they want it now. And it doesn't happen like that. It happens over time. And it happens, if you can, I tell people, if someone had just had, let's just say, $1,500 or $1,000 extra a month, would that make a difference in the lives, in the life of a lot of people? I think so. I told
you. We have 60 seconds for you to give a closing remark and give out your information one more time for me.
Okay. Well, my website is brucedobbs.com, and the name of my book is Be In It to Win It, and you can go to Amazon or Borders or BarnesandNobles.com for that information. My phone number, slowly, is 404.
Oh, well, this isn't the time to do it slow. You need to speed it up now.
404-246-7899.
Thank you so much, Bruce. It was a pleasure having you on Hot Topics for the Soul, and I encourage you to come and join us next week at 8 o'clock for Hot Topics from the Soul, and visit my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com, and Soul Retreat is coming up August 12th and 13th in Orlando, Florida, and you can find information regarding the retreat on there. And I invite you to visit the website and peruse through it. There's books, there's tapes, there's information of motivation and inspiration to help you get through your day. I'm also a life coach, so you can look onto that on fromthesoulofawoman.com. Thank you so much, Shirley. Appreciate you being on the call tonight, and we appreciate you and celebrate you, and come visit us again. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.